for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 26th, 1991. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker of the evening. At the conclusion of this tape, there is a prayers for the deliverance from curses of our ancestral heritage, or curses that the Bible says is on us because we disobeyed God.
We thank you tonight that out of Zion the deliverer shall come. And we thank you, you're raising up many sons in the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. You're the firstborn among many brethren. And so, Lord, tonight as we go into the Word, we ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us together, Lord. We ask eyes to be enlightened, ears to be opened, and understanding and wisdom be given to your people, Lord. As we approach your Word, we approach it reverently, Lord. And God, we realize in ourselves we can do nothing and we are nothing. But Lord, we submit to the authority of the Holy Spirit. And we ask tonight that you would help us as we share this word. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah 4. I mean, appreciate the word has been coming forth in these meetings. And the deliverance and all the music and the blessings we've had. This has been a great camp. I tell you, there's been a hunger here.
Yes.
There's a unity here.
Yes.
And I like to be among people that want to see alike and believe alike and have a hunger, don't you?
Amen.
I've been in some places where nobody hungered, it seemed, for anything. But I like to be among the people of God who desire Jesus, amen, and His Word. Zechariah chapter 4. I mean, oh, God's lamps must burn the brightest in the midst of darkness.
Yeah.
Now, darkness is coming, and as Glenn said yesterday, if we move into God, press into God, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I'm here to tell you there is coming a tribulation. There is coming trouble in the earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Darkness is going to cover the earth in gross darkness. But God said at that time, His glory shall be seen upon a people.
Amen.
I mean, know that Jesus had that glory within Him and it came out on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was an explosion from within to without. And so there is coming that same experience within the people of God. Now in Zechariah 4, notice verse 1. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. How would you like to be awakened by an angel? Well, it may be good, and then he may tell us some things we may not like. And said to me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it. And we know that the candlestick in Exodus 25 was one candlestick made out of beaten gold, it says, which means it came under the hammer. How many felt like you've been under the hammer lately? Amen? And the candlestick or the lampstand had to be lit in the morning and in the evening. Praise the Lord. And you know, right before Samuel, God called Samuel, the Bible said, ere the lamp of the Lord went out, and then it said He called Samuel. Right at the darkest time when the light was about to go out, God called the prophet. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I believe that God is going to call his prophets out in this hour, in the darkest hour. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, God doesn't send the prophets when everything's going good. God sends the prophets when your back is against the wall. Amen? And let me tell you what the prophets do. They come in and say, either straighten up the wall or you can kill the prophet. How many know that some choose the second first? But I'm telling you, the prophets are going to come out in the darkest hour of history. And I believe that it's going to be the prophet's ministry that's going to bring back the Lord Jesus himself. Hallelujah. How many know that's Bible?
Amen.
If you know your Bible. Now, here in Zechariah, he says, notice again, that this candlestick or lampstand is of all gold, and the bowl upon top of it had seven lamps therein, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top. Verse 3, the two olive trees by it, and upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side. Then in verse 6, he said, he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, come on, help me now, not by might, nor by power, there it is, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. Notice, it's the word of the Lord, and it's by the Spirit. Amen? Now, let's tell you now who these two are. Right here we're talking about. We're talking about two witnesses. We're talking about two prophets. We're talking about two olive branches. We're talking about two olive trees, taking these scriptures and the one of Revelation. We're talking about two candlesticks. And we're talking about two anointed ones, or the sons of oil. Yes. It is sons of God full of oil. It is not two people, probably like you've been taught. This is God's sons that he's raising up in the end of the age. They're the sons of oil. They're two anointed ones of God. Now, it said here, the word of the Lord and the Spirit. Now, the two witnesses simply is this. It is the word and the Spirit in a people. It is the anointed word within a people. How many know the Father God? It said God is a what? Come on, help me. A spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then it says of Jesus, how many know the Bible said that he's the Word.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh, come on help me, and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So we have the Father and the Son, praise the Lord, the Spirit and the Word within a people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now look in verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven eyes, which is the seven spirits of God, the fullness. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. How many know that Jesus did not just minister in gifts of the Spirit? There was the fullness in Jesus.
Yeah.
How many know that God's going to bring a people to his fullness? Can you say amen? But before we get to the fullness, how many know we've got to come to the holy place? The Pentecostal realm, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit to come into the Holy of Holies. Yes, there is a greater realm. But we have not got to that place yet. But I want to say this. The ministry that was in Jesus will be seen again in the earth. Can you say amen? And it's going to be at the end of the age, in the darkest hour, God raises up his prophets. Hallelujah. Worldwide. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so it says here, then answered I and said to him, what are these two olive trees? Upon the right side of the candlestick and the left side. Now, the candlestick's the church. And so you got one on one side and one on the other. And I answered again and said to him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes, look at this, empty the golden oil out of themselves. Hallelujah. So there is a golden candlestick or lampstand. There is the golden pipes. And there is the golden oil, hallelujah, that's flowing into the candlestick, amen, from these ministries. Are you hearing that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, these are not just little bowls. They're reservoirs. We're talking about God's fullness in a people. And yet that fullness as well is being poured into the church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Look in Revelation 12:6. I'm going to hold your place here. Look in Revelation 12:6, just a second. Just one verse. And look at verse 6, and it says this, 12:6 of Revelation. And the woman, the church, fled into where? The wilderness. The wilderness. Where she hath a place. Notice, it's not prepared of the devil. It's prepared of God that they, the word they is the ones in verse 5, the man-child, the sons of God, the overcomers, that they should feed her, the woman, the church, there in the wilderness, how long? 1,200, come on, and 70 days, which is 1,260 days. Now you see the man-child nourishing the woman, feeding the woman in the wilderness. You see that same picture back here in Zechariah. Because God's power, God's anointing is flowing into that candlestick. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Same picture there. Now back in Zechariah, he says, again, he said they empty the golden oil out of themselves. How many know you can't empty yourself unless you've got something in you?
Amen.
It's time that we have something in. It's more than just talk. How many know there's a walk with this thing too?
Amen.
Amen. Many talky-talky, but how many know God wants some walky-walky? Amen.
Amen.
He wants both. Now look at verse 13. He answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. What does that mean? That means simply this. There is no religious or fleshly activity working in them.
Amen.
They're waiting on the direction of the Holy Spirit, and they'll not move without God telling them to move.
Hallelujah.
Can you hear that?
Amen.
One of the greatest sins in the church is selfish ambition or religious ambition. How many know there's a spirit that drives people to do things?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But these two are waiting on the Holy Spirit. Notice it, they're called the two anointed ones. Literally, it means the sons of oil. Sons full of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So we can see there is a man-child going to sustain or nourish and feed the woman. Now turn over with me to the book of Kings. Let's turn there just a minute. The book of Kings. First Kings chapter 17. And look at verse 7. How many know God's raising up Elijah?
Yes.
The army, the Elijah army. I believe that. How many know John the Baptist is a picture of that? And he came on the scene and prepared the way for his first coming, didn't he?
Yes.
And the sons of God, this Elijah army, will prepare the way for the next coming. Amen. Glory. How many believe he's coming tonight?
Amen.
And let me tell you, he's coming in clouds.
Yes.
He's coming with clouds. He's coming in clouds. He's coming with saints. He's coming, come on, in saints. Amen? He's coming in you and me. How many know we're the clouds?
Yeah.
Let me show you this before we look here. Look in Psalms 60-something here. Turn over there with me. We'll come back to Kings. Psalm 67 or 8 or 9. I'll find it here. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 68, verse 34. Ascribe, and by the way, he's coming with fire and in fire as well. He's coming in fire, he's coming in clouds, he's coming in saints. Now, verse 34, Psalm 68. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over who? How many know we're Israel today?
Yeah.
Galatians 6 tells you that. And his strength, come on now, is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of the holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. How many got that?
Amen.
It says in verse 34, right here, that God is the strength in the clouds. And verse 34, he said, the strength and the power is in the people. That's you and me. We are the clouds.
Uh-huh.
And he's coming in the clouds. And yet he's coming with clouds. Now, back in 1 Kings 17, it says in verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. How many know God's got a way to get our attention? We like to settle down in comfort zone, don't we? But God knows how to get our attention. And so Elijah is here at the brook. God had had him there for a period of time, eating from the ravens, from the ravens that would fly in. How many's ever ate from a raven? Huh? Well, I have. Not a natural bird now. I've been fed some raven food in the outer court. Now listen to what I'm saying. It says here, notice. And it says the brook dried up, and there had been no rain where? In the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Now, the brook Cherith means to cut. I mean, oh, God's cutting some things away. And he's going to lead him to Zarephath, which actually, I just like to say it in my terminology, he's going to burn some other things up he didn't cut away at the other place, because that's really what it means. And then God said, I've commanded that Zarephath, notice, a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he hadn't told the woman yet. He said, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Now, can you imagine all the talk in town that's going to be going on? Here's Elijah going into a widow woman's home. Amen? Come on, the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we know when he got there, look in verse 12. Well, she was gathering the sticks up, the little lady was. And in verse 11, she was going to fetch it, it said. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Now notice, a handful of meal, see that? And a little oil in a cruse. How many know the meal represents the word to us? And the oil represents what? Holy Spirit. You got the word, come on, and you got the Spirit right here. Now this is a natural setting, of course. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. How many know that a prophetic word can sustain you in this hour? Amen. I've seen finances change. I've seen businesses change because of a prophetic word that somebody opened up to. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. And it said, notice, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Praise God, according to what Elijah told. Now, why did I read that? I read that to show you that this woman, and she's a picture, really, of the church here. Yeah. I mean, oh, the woman, in the woman is the man-child today in Revelation. She is nourishing and sustaining, come on, and feeding the man-child. Isn't that right? Yeah. Hallelujah. He's in the woman right now. We need the church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? We don't get so big and so high that we don't need the church. We need the church of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But we also know here that the woman fed Elijah first. She sustained, fed, nourished him first. Hallelujah. And as a result, the word of the Lord brought blessing to her without fail. Praise God. So he ministered back a blessing to her after he was sustained. And that's what I see in Revelation. The man-child is in the woman, being nourished and fed. But how many know the man-child is going to come to maturity? Amen? Today we're in the woman. Maybe tomorrow or next day or whenever the time is, we may be in the man-child. Hallelujah. Those that attain to that realm. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But what's the man-child going to do? He's going to feed and nourish the woman, isn't he? In the wilderness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We need to see that tonight. Now, here's what I want to show you. He was fed by the ravens out of court. Then he's fed by the woman, holy place. But how many know it took some real food from an angel to feed him, to sustain him for 40 days? Come on, amen? That represents the Holy of Holies as well. And God is feeding his people. Now, the man-child comes out of the woman. The man-child comes out of the woman. And the Bible, and Daniel said that there was a little stone came out of the mountain. Remember that? And it filled all the earth and became a great mountain. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Peter is a picture of the man-child getting out of the boat. Where's the other 11 at? They're in the boat. What's the boat? It's the church. I mean, Peter walked on the water first before the others. Amen?
Amen?
He got out of the boat. Glory to God. He went to Jesus walking on the water. Sure, he sank. But how many know Jesus reached out and pulled him up? Hallelujah. And they both went back to the boat together. Praise the Lord. But Peter got out of the boat. Somebody needs to get out of the boat. Can you say amen? We've been in the boat too long. Hallelujah. But we're going to stay in it until God's time. Peter didn't get out until Jesus said, come. And when Jesus said, come, brother, he'd come over that side of that boat and walked out where Jesus walked.
Yeah.
How many know there's a people going to walk in a supernatural realm with the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, shout, don't shout me down. Amen. Now, then Job said there's a sword coming out of the body. And I was thinking of the parable that Jesus talked about, the treasure hid in the field or in the world, which is the church. And then the next parable was the pearl of great price that was found. Remember that? How many know where the treasure's tonight? In the field, the church. But out of the church is coming the pearl, which is the overcomers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go a little further here tonight. But how many know in this time that God's raising up these sons, these overcomers, it's going to be the darkest hour. Again, it's going to be midnight. Judgment, tribulation is going to be in the earth. But God's fullness, God's power, God's authority is going to be resident at that time within a people. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. So the golden candlestick, the golden oil, and that oil is flowing through golden pipes into the church to sustain and to feed her. Now, what is the double portion ministry? Our sister mentioned that this morning. I want to touch on it just a minute. How many know this is the double portion ministry in Zechariah 4, Revelation 11? That's the double portion ministry God's raising up in the earth in this hour. Now, it is the Word and the Spirit in a people. And again, as I said the other day, it's the power to minister on that side of the veil and this side of the veil. Amen? Look in John 3 a minute. Look in John 3 here just a second. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 3, look at verse 13. John 3:13. Now, it says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, that's where? How many know Jesus was, his feet was here on the earth when he spoke those words? And he said, there's no man ascended to heaven, but the one, which speaking of himself, which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, that's in heaven. So he was walking the earth, but yet he lived there, didn't he?
Yes.
Are you hearing me? How many know that's where we need to come to? Come on now, don't shout me down. We need to live in that realm and yet walk here. Praise the Lord. Now, look in Revelation with me just a minute. Hallelujah. Look in Acts first. Excuse me. No man, listen, no man had ever ascended up besides Jesus. Listen to what I'm going to say now. Some have went up. Some God has taken like Enoch. He was not, for God took him. Remember that? John was told to come up hither. And John was carried away in the Spirit. But there was only one from the dead, after he rose from the dead, who actually ascended up to heaven. That was Jesus. Now, I mean, Enoch's in heaven tonight. But God took him to heaven. I said, God took him. From the outside, the power of God took that man to heaven, if I can use that phrase. And Elijah, God took him to heaven in a chair, didn't he? Huh? Now, it said that only the Son of Man had the power to ascend. Now, here in Acts chapter 3. I believe it's Acts 3. I got to get my scripture here. Hang on just a minute. I'm in another Bible, so makes a difference, don't it? All right, look in Acts 2:34. Look at this now, Acts 2:34. For David is not ascended where? But where is he at tonight? I mean, always he's in heaven. David has not ascended into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Because we know that's Jesus sitting at the right hand. Now, David himself did not have the power to ascend himself. But how many know he was taken to heaven? Amen? Now look in Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Now before we go to Ephesians, sorry. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high. Who was that? When he, Jesus, ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. How many know he took people out of, I like to say out of hell, the paradise section into the third heaven. Amen? Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? So we see there that Jesus had the power to ascend, and yet he took others with him, didn't he? Now look in Revelation 11. Revelation 11, here the two witnesses lay their life down, and I literally believe it. I don't spiritualize it. I believe they'll die. And I'm not going to go into that, but look in verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither, and they did something. They did something. They ascended up to heaven. Hallelujah. In a what? How did Jesus go up? In a cloud. Hallelujah. And their enemies beheld them. Hallelujah. How many believe that he's raising a people that's going to fit the pattern all the way? This is resurrection life right here. And it said they ascended up to heaven. And if I read the Bible right, only one I've ever found who actually ascended was Jesus. And this is at the end of tribulation right here. And the sons of God who lay their life down ascend up to heaven. How did they do it? Because in verse 11 it said the Spirit of life from God entered them. The power from within gave them that ability or authority. What are you going to say? Our power to ascend. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we need the power of God, don't we? Now, I said the double portion is the Word and the Spirit in a people. They'll minister on that side and this side of the veil. But the double portion ministry is also the right of the firstborn. How many know that scripture in the Old Testament? It means they had the right or the blessing of the firstborn. Praise God. Now, turn with me, if you will. Well, and let me say something else here in just a minute. I'll get on the firstborn in just a minute. Also, how many know that? Well, let's turn to it. Let's go to Kings. Second Kings. Now, we want to see when the double portion was given to Elisha. Was it given on the east side or the west side, we'd say? I mean, on Bible, you're marching from east to west. You know that? Well, you know it now, so check me out. 2 Kings chapter 2, look at verse 7. How many men are there? What's the number 50? Come on, help me. Pentecost. Pentecostals, charismatics, right here. And 50 men, how many know twice 50 is 100? Amen? How many believe that God's raising up 100-fold people? But these, it said 50 men, of course that's just the number, 50 men, but 50 is the number of Pentecost. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view far off, and they two stood by Jordan. Now notice, they're going to watch Elijah and Elisha. And notice where they're standing afar off. How many know some people standing afar off today? And how many know if God showed us, we'd be seeing some areas in us that we're standing afar off too? And these 50, I call them bird watchers and food inspectors. Now, I don't know if that's right or not. But they're looking. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now, they're going to cross Jordan, and that's when Elisha is going to ask Elijah for the double portion So I want you to see that's when they cross over Jordan. I mean, Jordan means spreading of judgment. Now, there is a baptism in the sea. Come on, help me now. There is a baptism in the cloud, and there's a baptism in Jordan. You got a 30, 60, 100-fold there, don't you? Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. How many believe Tabernacles is coming? The Feast of Tabernacles. I believe that. Now, let me show you something. Hold your place. Go to Zechariah 10. I know we're jumping, but when God gives me these scriptures, I move. Zechariah 10. I've had people actually get mad at me because I jump around too much, but I can't help it. That's their problem, not mine. God, I didn't call God. He called me. Amen? Zechariah 10 And I want to show you something here in this scripture. How many believe this is a critical scripture if you know your Bible? And in chapter 10, verse 1, notice, ask ye of the Lord what? Rain. Rain in the time of the latter rain. So when it's time for this latter rain, it's time that we ask, right? So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Now, when you talk about the latter rain, you got to talk at least for many things, but I'm looking at the third day from Jesus, or seventh day from Adam, taking a day as 1,000 years. I'm looking at a Zion people that God is resting in, that's in, which is the sons of God. And I'm looking at restoration that's going to take place within the people of God. And I'm looking at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm looking at an ingathering that's coming in the earth. How many know without tabernacles there'll be no ingathering? Can you say amen? Now, God in this chapter, in verse 1, he's saying we're to ask for the latter rain. Now look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. In the time of this latter rain, he said, for the idols have spoken vanity. And how many know the idols are in us? Between our ears, most of it. Anybody can tear an idol up, can't they, and destroy something off the mantle or whatever. But how many know these idols here, it takes a while sometimes. And notice it said, in the time of this latter rain, idols have spoken vanity, and diviners or fortune tellers, and how many know the land's full of those? And the church is full of them. Come on now, don't shout me down. Have seen a lie, have told false dreams, they comfort in vain, therefore, God said, they went their way as a flock, they were troubled, because there was no shepherd. How many know we need some shepherds in the land? The cry of my heart is for God to raise up some shepherds, real shepherds in the land, that won't fleece the people, that will love the people, and feed the flock. Can you say amen? And God has promised he's going to raise up shepherds in the land. And I believe every apostle, true apostle, and prophet, and teacher, and of course, shepherds in the local group, and evangelists are shepherds to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. But he said here there was no shepherd. Now look at verse 3. Mine anger was kindled against those shepherds. Look over in chapter 11. Turn over in chapter 11 here. In verse 15, he calls them foolish shepherds. And in verse 17, he said, woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. How many of you not? You wouldn't have a hand without an arm. It speaks of authority and power, doesn't it? And upon his right eye, which is revelation and vision. And his arm shall be dried up. No more authority. And his right eye, which means no more revelation, shall be utterly darkened. How many know if God's given us revelation, we better thank God for it and walk in it. Now, look back in chapter 10. He said in verse 3, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus comes, his judgments are going to fall on shepherds that have not told the truth. I mean, it was time to warn the people of God of the hour we're living in. Amen. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. I punish the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, the house of praisers, and hath made them as his goodly horse. Where? Now notice, they're his goodly horse in the battle. How many believe a battle's coming? Oh, there's so many scriptures we could go into on that. Goodly horse. Now hold your place, turn to Proverbs. We've got several things working here. Proverbs 21. I believe it's 21 or 28. Let me look here. 26, 27, 28. Praise God. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 21, 31. I believe it is. I'll get it right here in a minute. 21, 31. Is that right? I think right. Is it? Okay. Huh? Oh, I'm in Psalms. That's not right. I'm in Psalms. 21, 31. All right. The horse. I mean, that's you and me. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. God said he's preparing a horse for the day of battle. There's a horse company God's preparing. I mean, how many's ever read Joel chapter 2? You know that. Now, back in Zechariah chapter 10, he said that this goodly horse is going to be in the battle. Now, look at verse 4. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, and out of him every oppressor together. Verse 5. And they shall be as mighty men. Everybody hear that? Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures. Turn to Isaiah 13. I'm just going as I hear God speaking to me here tonight. Isaiah 13. Look at verse 3. The Lord said, I've commanded my sanctified ones, my holy ones. How many know God's commanding? I have also called my mighty ones. Everybody see that? Back here in Zechariah, what did he say? He said back here, if I can find my place. Hallelujah. They shall be as mighty men. And it says here, I have called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people. A tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts, look at this, mustereth the host of the battle. God's going to bring this war. But God has his mighty ones prepared. Are you hearing me? Amen. Verse 5. Here, listen to what he says now. They come from a far country. You know what that is? Tells you right there. From the end of heaven to the law, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy what? The whole land. Amen? And you're in Joel. He's crying out for the mighty ones to come down as well. Now, back in Zechariah 10, listen to what he says now. God's talking about this goodly horse people, these praisers that's coming forth in the battle, the warriors. And he says in verse 5, they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies, come on, in the mire or the mud of the streets in the battle. How many want to see the enemy put down? Amen. Under our feet? Can you say amen? And he said they're going to tread them down in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. Without the Lord, we'd lose, wouldn't we?
Hallelujah.
And the riders on horses shall be confounded. That's the other horse company. They're going to be put to shame. I mean, oh, there's like the brother said today, it's either positive or negative, right? Dark or light. Amen. I will strengthen the house of praisers, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again and place them. I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim, which means double fruit, shall be like a mighty man. Their hearts shall rejoice as through wine, as joy. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad, and their hearts shall rejoice. And the Lord, verse 8, now look at verse 8. God said, I'm going to hiss. That means to call, whistle. I'm going to whistle for them, these praisers. Hallelujah. I'm going to hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. Everybody see that? Turn to Revelation. Hold your place. Turn to Revelation 14. Thank you, Jesus. Same people right here. Revelation 14. And look at verse, thank you, Lord, for verse 4. The last part of verse 4. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits to God and to the Lamb. They are the redeemed. How many know, let the redeemed say so? And the redeemed are as bold as what? A lion. And somebody said later, scares a rabbit, but... Bold as a lion. But back in Zechariah, he said, I'm going to hiss, I'm going to whistle, I'm going to call for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase. How many know it's time to increase in the Lord?
Amen.
As they have increased. How many know that's a progress in the Lord? Now, turn over to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. Look at verse 26. I didn't learn this in Sunday school, but I learned it in his school. Hallelujah. Isaiah 5:26, and he shall lift up an ensign to the nation. Notice this, to the nations, not just nation, nations, from far, and will hiss, there's that word, or whistle or call unto them from the end of the earth. I may believe there's a clarion call going to come out to the people of God. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly, those that hear his voice. None shall be weary. Oh, glory, I'll take some of that. How about you?
Amen.
All right, you can have some of that, too. No more. Oh, that's right. You're strong tonight, wasn't you? Boy, she was strong tonight, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Boy, I'll say she preached again tomorrow. We may have a bigger altar call. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber, no foolish virgins, nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of the loins be loosed. Tight girdle. The girdle will kill you. I'll get through with you. Nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Hallelujah. Whose arrows are sharp, look at that, and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs, there's a horse, shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. How many know the lion of the tribe of Judah is in us tonight?
Yes, hallelujah.
How many know that lion roars against your enemy? You need that lamb towards one another, but you need that lion when you come out against your enemy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so he said, they're going to roar like a lion, and they'll roar like young lions. Praise God. They shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day and so forth. There's so much more. Now, back to Zechariah 10. God said, I'm going to call, hiss for them. I'm going to gather them. They're redeemed. They're going to increase. And verse 9, Zechariah 10:9. God said, I will sow them among the people. How many know you can only bloom where you're planted? And the trouble with some is they're not planted anywhere. But we need to be planted by the Holy Ghost. How many know you can't choose the church of your choice where to go? God has to plant you in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
In fact, if most churches today, if people were led by the Holy Spirit and placed by God, most of them would empty out. Come on, don't shout me down. It's true.
Amen.
He said, I will sow or plant them among the people, and they shall remember me where? In far countries. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. That means when God's Spirit's poured out, he's going to literally transport a people around the world. Hallelujah. He's going to pick you up and set you down, maybe in Moscow. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be something to be in Moscow? Well, I don't know. God set me down, it'd be all right, but I just hope he picked me back up. Amen. Pick a people up and place them around the world. And I do believe it's the people of God that he's going to use in this hour. Can you say amen? Now let's go back to Kings where we were a while ago. Praise God. Back to Kings. We see something happening. We see that the 50 men, Pentecostals, are looking, watching the prophets, looking afar off, standing. They see them standing by Jordan. And in verse 8, 2 Kings 2, verse 8, and we see that the water was divided, and they both walked across Jordan. Verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Hallelujah. But it did not happen till they crossed Jordan. And I want to tell you, I don't believe it's going to happen until there's a people ready to cross Jordan. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
I mean, in the fullness. Praise be unto God. Now listen to what he said. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Well, how many know Elijah went up and the mantle came down? How many know Jesus went up and the mantle came down, the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Amen? And when the mantle came down, we know it was upon Elisha, and we know that that power was upon him from that day forward. And then in verse 15, when the sons of the prophets, which were of you at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said to him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord have taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley, and said, you shall not sin. Otherwise, they wouldn't bring Elijah back. How many know we're good at that? We want to bring back what God threw with at the time. Amen? Oh, yeah. The old order. God's wanting to smash that old order in all of us. Amen? He sure does. Praise the Lord. He wants to smash it. Now, look in Exodus 16. Now, before we go there, let's go to Joshua. Now, I said the double portion could not come until they crossed Jordan. I want to tell you 7 things here that happened about the people crossing Jordan. First thing in Joshua 3, verse 1, how many know they had to move out of Shittim? Let me tell you what Shittim means. It means sticks of wood. How many know wood speaks of humanity? When we start coming out of our flesh realm and carnal realm, God will start doing something in us. Secondly, it means scourging thorns, and the thorn speaks of the curse. And we get the curses broke, how many know God's going to do something in it? And it also means to flog or goad, and how many know God's doing that to us too? Amen? And so it said that Joshua rose early in the morning. It's a dawning of a new day. And I believe we're coming to a new day in God, don't you? You may want to go back to the old times, but I don't. I want to go on with God. Hallelujah. Because my eyes fixed on the Lord and not what's happened back there. And I thank God for what happened, but I want to go on. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan in all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. Second thing, they lodged, which simply means this. It was a hopeless, helpless situation. It's flood stage and there's no way they can get across. And I can just hear some of them saying, now we can build some boats and go. But it won't work. What worked yesterday will not work today. Amen. How many know God's shutting some doors in all of our lives, different ways? God's shutting the doors in order to reroute you a new direction. Some of us are real hard-headed and we can't figure it out yet, can we? But God did say this, when he opens the doors, there'll be many adversaries, so you'll know. Amen. You'll know the doors are open. Isn't that right? Many adversaries. Many adversaries. Praise God. So if you're praying for open doors, let me tell you what you're praying for. You're praying for many adversaries as well. But how many know if God opens the door, he gives you the power to overcome the enemy? Come on now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, third thing is, they had to see the ark. Their eye was to be fixed upon the ark. Can you say amen? How many know he's the true ark? Jesus. Don't lose sight of the Lord tonight, brother. Don't get your eye on man. Don't get your eye on ministry. Get your eye on the Lord. Now, thank God for man, thank God for ministries, but keep your eye towards the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the ministries must point the people to Jesus. Come on, can you say amen? We must set the people's attention on the Lord and not on ourselves. We must not seek for man to follow us, but to follow the Lamb of God with us wherever he goes. Can you say amen? Then, of course, the ark had to be, it had to be 2,000, the people had to be 2,000 cubits apart from the ark. And we know that 2,000 years ago, how many know the true ark came and went before us? He's the forerunner. Praise God. And then he said, you've not passed this way heretofore. I want to tell you, it's a new way, brethren. It's a new day in God. Don't think you know how to do it. And I know how to do it because we don't know how to do it. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost all the way. Amen. I don't care if you know how to minister and I know how to minister. I mean, oh, sometimes we say, well, God, you know, you showed me and I'll take it from here. But you can't do it that way. It's got to be God all the way. Praise the Lord. How many know sometimes we get pressured into doing some things? And God may not even be in it, so we have to know the difference. And then lastly, he said, you must sanctify yourself. You're going to cross Jordan? Sanctify yourselves. He says here in verse 5. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You want to see the supernatural? You and I? Get sanctified. Can you say amen? How are we sanctified? By the blood of Jesus. By the word of God. By the name of the Lord. Amen? By faith. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, oh, that's a big one. By the Spirit of God. By the sacrifice, by one sacrifice on the cross, Hebrews 10 says. And by our work expressing our faith. Hallelujah. seven ways we're sanctified. Hope you got them all down. All right. Now turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. Oh, Father. Exodus 16, 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. We're talking about gathering the manna. And Omer, for every man, according to the number of your persons, take you every man for them which are in his tents. Look at verse 18. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Verse 22, it says, and it came to pass that on what day? How many believe we're in the sixth day from Adam? On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Praise God. And we know that an omer was a tenth of an ephah. And an ephah is a tenth of a homer. So you got an omer and you got a homer. You got to know the difference. Hallelujah. The homer is the biggest measurement. The omer is one-tenth of an ephah. An ephah is one-tenth of a homer. Or said another way, an omer is 1/100th of a homer. I mean, no, Jesus left the 99 and went after one. Yes. One out of 100. Praise God. I could get on the tithe here about the 10th too. How many know that give our tithe? Come on. That's the natural tithe. But how many know you may give your natural tithe and yet you may not be submitted in some other areas? I mean, no, that's not the only tithe. That's one tithe. That's out of court. And we all know, should know to do that. Amen. Support the work of God. Secondly, there is the spiritual tithe, which is, come on, faith and judgment and love and so forth. And that word judgment, I understand it's a feminine word, you know, for we would say for soul. There is the natural tithe, the physical giving. But then there is the we would say, the tithe out of the soul. Where we give justice, faith, mercy, and love. But the third tithe, you got out of court and holy place there. And the third tithe is the Holy of Holies, and it will be the sons of God. Yes. They'll become the tithe. But how many know God requires all of us? Spirit, come on. Soul and body. Look at Isaiah, just a minute. Hold your place. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. So when we talk about tithes, we talk about a lot of things. And I don't get on tithes much, but I like to once in a while. We need to learn to give our time, our talent, and treasure to God. Amen? Look in chapter 6, and look in verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Now, I believe there was a fulfillment of that back, way back. But look in verse 12. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking of the land. How many know it's going to be a falling away? Sure is. There's two things going to happen, an outpouring and a great falling away. Boy, if I get on that, we wouldn't get out here. Verse 13. But yet in it shall be a what? A tenth. I mean, oh, that's we would say the remnant. And it shall return, that's restoration, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak. How many have ever seen a big oak tree? And the leaves stay right on just about till the others come in and push them off. Fruitful and, you know, it speaks of life. Whose substance is where? In them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. How many know we got a holy seed in us tonight?
Yes.
And I could get on the 42nd generation with that seed and show it's the sons of God. But I won't do it. Praise God. God has a people that's going to become the tithe. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anybody want to? There's a price to pay, isn't there? Now go back to Exodus 16. Notice what God tells Moses. Moses is telling, I guess, the people. This is the thing which the Lord commands, fill an omer. Remember, that's the tenth of an ephah, right? Homer. 1/100th of a Homer.
Well, you don't get it yet.
Tell a Omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread, that they may see the bread wherewith I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot. It's a golden pot. And put an Omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before who? The Lord, to be kept for your generations. Then, because it's going to be a testimony, he says in verse 34. Verse 35, the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited, and they did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Listen, God never takes away the old. He never exposes you to the new until he takes away the old.
Right, amen.
And when they crossed Jordan, how many know they ate the old, which is a mature word?
Yeah.
Now, an Omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Praise God. Israel would go out and gather the manna on their front lawn every morning, wouldn't it? But how many know if they kept it very long, it would breed worms and stink. And then you have the manna, the bread, and the holy place where the priests would eat of. Only the priests. Now, out in the, we would say outside there where they gathered the manna, it was for everybody to eat. They could all eat. But in the holy place, only the priests could eat the showbread. And there were 12 loaves. How many know 12's government? And it was changed every Sabbath. But praise God, there was an Omer of manna in the Holy of Holies that did not breed worms or stink. Hallelujah. How many know that speaks of fresh manna and fresh revelation
Hallelujah. Continually?
Hallelujah. And all the high priests would be able to see that. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to break forth into that Holy of Holies. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What did he say in Revelation? I'll give the hidden manna to the overcomer.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen? Now turn to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. Genesis 48. And look at verse 22. Speaking of Joseph. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh means forgetting. Ephraim means double portion. Now in verse 22, Jacob is telling Joseph here, moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. So one above your brethren. How many? That's two. That's a double portion. Which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Praise God. Notice, one portion above his brethren. Now, I want to tell you seven things about Joseph in just a second. We're talking about a double portion ministry here. How many know there were three strippings in Joseph's life? He was stripped by his half-brethren and threw in the pit. How many know there's some brethren that'll strip you? They'll take it all, won't they? And secondly, he was stripped by the harlot, and the garment was left in her hand, and she lied on it. Remember that? And then finally, he was stripped from his prison garments and took the throne. You got a 30, you got a 60, you got a 100 principle there. Now, I want to tell you seven things about Joseph here. And by the way, you see in Joseph a preserver of life.
Yeah.
He preserved life. He didn't destroy. How many know some people destroy? But some people preserve. Now, seven things, man, who have the double portion. And by the way, how many know Joseph was the firstborn? There was only four brothers. He was the firstborn of the beloved, yes. Now, number one, he was given, I'm going to give you seven things if you want to write them down. Number one, he was a nation. A proclamation that he would be second in command on the throne. How many know that's Bible? Number two, he was given a ring, which is authority. Number three, he was given vestures of linen, which is the covering of the overcomer, Revelation chapter 3. He was given vestures of linen, number three. Number four, he was given a gold chain to put around his wheel, his neck. Your neck's your wheel. And number five, he was given a chariot to ride in. And number six, he was given a wife. And you know that wife was an Egyptian wife. Amen. Which means his children were half Egyptian. Isn't that right? And seven, he was given a new name. Look in Genesis 41. Oh, hallelujah. How many know we're going to be given a new name, the Bible says, to those that overcome? To those that overcome now. Genesis 41, 45. How many know the Lord has a Gentile bride? Acts 15 says. And yet, we're not Gentile, are you? As far as the natural. We're a spiritual Jew. Genesis 41. 45. Let's read it. If I can find it. Okay. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. Boy. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of... Boy. Well, anyway, I'm going to stop there. That's enough. But he called him Zaphnath-Paneah. Now, notice that. That was his new name. Now, I want to tell you what this name means, if you want to write it down. It means a revealer of secrets. How many know the Lord can reveal his secrets? Deuteronomy says. Number two, it means the salvation of the world. Now, Joseph is a picture of Jesus, isn't he, as well as the Son. And third, it means the prince of the life of the world. And he gave us life for the world, didn't he? Number four, it means the fruit of life or of the living. The fruit of life or the living. And number five, it means the discovery of hidden things. Hallelujah. I'll get it right here in a minute. Praise God. Now, I want to show you something in closing. Go to Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 5. How many know there are things that will keep us out of our birthrights? Or double portion ministry, whatever you want to say, the right of the firstborn. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. And notice what it says. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, and he was, which means to behold a son. But for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. What am I saying? He lost that birthright, the right of the firstborn, because of uncleanness. How many know there's a lot of uncleanness in all of us? There's a lot of uncleanness that we've got to be purged of and delivered of. Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12. And look at verses 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, but will not see that lordship round without holiness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root, how many of the axe has to be laid to the root, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be what? Defile. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, man of the flesh, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that after, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. How many know the flesh will sell you out and sell me out if we allow it? Can you say amen? Amen. How many know that Esau also means Edom? And he had a grandson. How many know his name was Amalek? And how many know there's always going to be a war with Amalek? That's the flesh. But God's raising up sons of God. He's raising up a double portion ministry. He's raising up a tithe. Hallelujah. And I want to be one of them. Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and praise him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, cleanse us tonight and wash us from all filthiness, all uncleanness, Lord, that would keep us out of this round that we're speaking of tonight, Lord. You said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, Lord, cleanse us from any uncleanness, ungodliness, anything, Lord, that's not like you. Continue to purge and deliver us, Lord, from those things that are not like Christ, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lethargy, our slumber, and our sleeping. Help us to rise up, Lord, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, to spend time in your presence. Lord, that we may empty out of ourselves, Lord God, as you pour into us, Lord. Lord, that we'll not be going to somebody all the time and having them minister to us, but we'll have the power and the authority to minister to somebody else, Lord. Oh, God, grow your people up. Grow us up, Lord, that we may call upon you, that we may look to you and not to man, that we'll not yield to the arm of flesh, but we'll submit to the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I pray for the man-child. I pray for the man-child people. I pray for the sons of God, the overcomers, to come forth in this hour. God, I pray, as you said in your word, that upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness and deliverance.
Hallelujah.
And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions.
Yes,
Lord God, in the name of Jesus, bring forth this people, we pray. And start that work in us tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this campground tonight. We thank you for those that have come to this camp meeting, Lord. And God, those that will be traveling on the highways, Lord, well, tonight and tomorrow, God, we ask your protection over each one as they go home, Lord. And we pray, Lord, your blessing to be upon them, Lord Jesus, as they leave tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. We ask the Holy Spirit to seal every word that's been spoken here by the Holy Ghost, Lord. And by the prophetic word, Lord. And the deliverance, Lord. Let the people know that the Lord is alive. And that he's doing the work in all of us. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come to you now humbly. And we ask that you'll continue your work in each one of us tonight. And everybody said.
Well, this afternoon, I never did get around to pray for what I was teaching on, the curses. So for just a few minutes here, we're going to take that up, and then Tommy's going to come and conclude the service this evening. But in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 12, Deuteronomy 31, verse 12, the Lord is telling Moses here, and he says, gather the people together, the men, the women, the children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, that their children, which have not known, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as you live in the land, whether ever you go over this Jordan to possess it. And that applies today. We need to fear the Lord, and we need to teach our children to fear the Lord in a righteous fear, and also we need to teach them to love the Lord. We need to teach them to love the presence of the Lord, to teach them to love his anointing, his mercy and his grace. But then we should also have a fear of the judgment of God. Today, there isn't enough hellfire preached from the pulpit as it was when I was a kid, so that we have a fear of God's judgments. So I'm going to take up where I quit this afternoon, and I'm going to pray and take dominion over curses, and I'm going to break these curses and believe that you are in agreement with me, so that if any of these areas are over your life, that you will be able to be set free from them and be able to come out from underneath the bondage that you are in. I told you this afternoon that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might be saved. But you have to believe. Also, I told you that Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became a curse so the curses can be broken. Also, it says that in my name, the name of the Lord Jesus, he gives us dominion over Satan to cast him out and to set the captives free and to pray for the sick. And they'll be raised up, and to lay hands on them. And if they've committed any sins and so forth, they'll be forgiven them. So I'm going to just take up right where I quit. Father, I come as a priest this evening on behalf of these people and myself. I come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And it is written, Satan, that Jesus became a curse, so we don't have to bear the curses. It is written, Satan, that by the blood of Jesus, there's cleansing and remission of sins. It is written, Satan, that Jesus suffered at the whipping post. By the scars and stripes of the whipping post, there's healing for our physical bodies. Satan, it is written that Jesus is our deliverer. It is written that, Satan, that you were defeated at Calvary. And it is written, Satan, that Jesus and the Father said that in his name we have dominion and authority over you. And tonight I take that place of position for these thy people and myself. And I take that place of position against you, Satan, and I bind your demon powers. And I take dominion over them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I bind you to the day of judgment, that you shall not harm or tear anybody, and that you shall obey the commandment given to, that I can give in Jesus' name, and command you to set God's people free. Now, I come against the curses of our ancestral heritage. I take authority over them. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash and separate between us and the sins of our ancestors. Father, there's nothing we can do for those who have passed on. But, Father, I take dominion over the ancestral curses and the familiar spirits that come down the ancestral line because of the sins of our fathers. And I take dominion over those curses and put the blood of Jesus to separate between us and those curses. And I take dominion and I break those curses in the authority and the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the curse of ourselves and our ancestors not giving God the glory. I break that curse over us for not giving God the glory. Forgive us, Father, for not giving you the glory and your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, I take dominion over the curse that's upon us because we have not kept the vows that we've made unto you. I ask you to forgive us, Father, and forgive us of the sins of our ancestors for not keeping the curse the vows that they have made unto you. I break the curse over us, and I bind the powers of any familiar spirit that would be coming down the family line in that vein. I break the curse over us for not paying our tithes and of our ancestors for not paying their tithes. I break the curse of poverty over us. I loose us from it. I take dominion over it in Jesus' name. Father, forgive us for not paying our tithes. Forgive our ancestors for not paying their tithes, Father. And I break the curse of poverty over us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, forgive us for not giving you offerings besides. And Father, I ask you to forgive us of the sins of our fathers for not giving offerings and our own sins for not giving offerings. Now I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name, and I loose us from that curse. Then I loose us from the curse of poverty because of it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, ask you to forgive us for having other gods before us. Gods of pleasure and other types of gods, Father, that we've had instead of you and our ancestors have had. Father, I take dominion over the curse that comes down the family line because we've had other gods before us. And I break the curse from our ancestors. And I break the curse that's over us because we've had the god of pleasure or other gods before us, the god of mammon. I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. And I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. And I bind every familiar spirit that would be hindering us in this way. And Father, I come against not giving honor to our parents. I break the curse of not giving honor to our parents and the curse of our ancestors for not giving honor to their parents. And I take dominion over the spirit of not giving honor to our parents. And I break that spirit of rebellion off of every one of us who've not given honor to our parents. And I loose us from that spirit of rebellion. And I break its assignment over us in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Father, I break the curse over us for not helping with the stranger and the widow and the fatherless. I break that curse over us, Father. Forgive our ancestors and forgive us. And I take dominion over that and I break that curse from off of us. And I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Father, I come against the sexual sins. Father, the curse of bestiality. Father, I come against that foul spirit, the curse of bestiality, and I break its assignment over those of us present. Father, and I break the assignment from our ancestral heritage, and I break the curse from anyone who's been involved in it. I break that curse of bestiality, and I loose us from it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I bind that foul spirit to the day of judgment. Father, I come against the curse of homosexuality. I break that curse over us. I break the curse of it from our ancestral heritage. I break the curse from our own involvement in any way. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to worship. And I bind that spirit of homosexuality. I come against the curse of lesbianism. I bind the foul spirit of lesbianism. I break your assignment over God's people. And I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash from our ancestral heritage and from our own involvement. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name.
I break the curse of pornography. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Uncleanliness, I break the curse of it. I loose us from it and from the sins of our ancestors. I break the curse of it. I come against the curse of abortion and murder. I break that curse of Baal worship. I come against Baal worship, abortion and murder. I break the curse of it over our family heritage. And I loose us from it in Jesus' name, from our ancestral heritage and from anyone here who's been involved in abortion. I break that curse in Jesus' name, and I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. And I bind that foul spirit of abortion and murder and Baal worship. I bind that spirit to the day of judgment in Jesus' name. I come against the curse that's upon married people who've had sexual relations during the time of the wife's period. I come against that curse. And I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. I bind it from our family heritage. And I loose us, anyone here who has been involved in that, and ask you to forgive us, Father. And then, Father, I speak healing and restoration to the physical body for any causes come to the physical body because of it. I break that curse in Jesus' name. And the curse of perversion, I come against perversion. And I break that curse in every form. The curse from our ancestral heritage and the curse that we are under because of perversion. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Now I come against the spirit of adultery. You spirit of adultery that's in the family of God. I break that curse of adultery over every one of us in Jesus' name. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash. And the curse has come down the family line because of adultery in our ancestors. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash. And I break that curse in Jesus' name. Now I come against the curse of incest in the families. I break that curse, the inherited curse of incest down through the family lines. I take dominion over it and I break that foul spirit in Jesus' name. And anyone that's been involved here, I break the curse and the shame of it. I break the curse of it and I loose you from the shame of it in Jesus' name. And I break it off of you in the name of the Lord. And I speak restoration to you in Jesus' name. I come against fornication, the spirit of fornication. I bind you and break your assignment over God's people. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to separate from your ancestral heritage. And I put the blood to cleanse and to wash you for being involved in fornication. I break the power of it over you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I come against the curse of not having anything in our basket or in our store. I break that curse over us in Jesus' name. I come against the curse over our field and over our city. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Now I come against the curse of the fruit of our body. I break that curse over us. And I go back for 40 generations in the areas of the sexual sins and the incest. And Father, I take dominion and I bind and break every foul, every curse, and I bind every foul spirit that's come down the family lines. And I command you to set God's people free. I bind you, come out of them, set them free in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. The spirits of the occult, I go back for 30 generations in the occults, areas of the occults. I bind you, foul spirits of the occults. I break your assignment over God's people. I command you to set God's people free and come out in the name of the Lord. I bind you to the day of judgment. I loose God's people and I set you free in Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Father, I command these spirits to keep coming out in the night season and in the days ahead until we are free of these areas that we've taken care of now in Jesus' name. And Father, anyone who needs further prayer, Father, we're willing to pray for them, and I thank you for the privilege of it in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it. Now, Father, I invoke Abraham's blessings, which can be ours when we're free of these things. I invoke Abraham's blessings, Father, in our store and in our basket. Father, I invoke the blessings of Abraham over these thy people, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord that are here ministering with us. And I thank you, Father, for them to gather up all these demons and those that will come out in the days ahead and to be there to take them and bind them up till you shall judge them at the day of judgment. I bind them and put them underfoot, and I declare that you're bound until Jesus shall judge you. Father, you said that Jesus has gone and sat down at the right hand of the Father until his enemies are put underfoot. Father, tonight we're putting some of them underfoot and we're binding them up till he can judge them at the day of judgment. We break your assignment, devil, over God's people. And I loose us to the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. To him be glory and honor, dominion forever and ever. Father, I come against the spirit of not being able to forgive ourselves. You spirit that says you can't be forgiven, I bind and break your assignment over God's people. I thank you for it, Father. I loose us to forgiveness of ourselves in Jesus' name. For the Father has forgiven us. Jesus has forgiven us. The blood washes and cleanses us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And I loose us from that spirit of condemnation and guilt. And I break its assignment over us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.